morning. We come together this morning to worship God and to celebrate the life of our friend and church member, Cora Sue Gavett. As we come together, we remember the joyful words of Scripture. The psalmist reminds us the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are God's everlasting arms. Scripture also reminds us that Christ has said, "Peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And therefore let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, you love us with an everlasting love. And it is you, O Lord, that can turn the shadow of death into the bright, beautiful morning. And so help us now to wait upon you with reverent and believing hearts. In the silence of this hour, speak to us of eternal things, so that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we may have hope and be lifted above any darkness or distress into the light and peace of your presence. This is our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing the great hymn of faith, "This Is My Father's World." Remember, Sue, we turn first to the Old Testament, and we reach deep into the wellspring here and hear with joy the psalmist at Psalm 100. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." And then I invite you to turn with me in the bulletin, and you're invited to read with me in unison Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now unto the mercy of Almighty God, and unto the Son, and unto the Holy Spirit, be ascribed in the church all honor and glory, majesty and dominion, from now and henceforth. Amen.
Early this morning, at 10 o'clock, we had a graveside service for the family at Sylvan Abbey, and also Gloria and Mary were there, who've been very closely connected with Sue over the years, being there for Sue, going the extra mile for Sue. I know Sue described Mary and Gloria as her angels, and they certainly were that for her. And at that time at the graveside this morning, they shared some memories of Sue. Feeling is right now that the emotions are so high that they would like me to sort of share for them. And many of you knew Sue yourself. You could be up here and share stories as well. One of the things that stood out that Mary shared was that basically Sue never met a stranger. She didn't use those words, but she indicated that in their condo complex, going to get the mail, when Sue met somebody she didn't know, it was like she'd known them forever. Introduced them, friendly, welcoming. Sue had a real gift for remembering names, and that goes back to her, I think, her interest in people. Many of us know that Sue had health challenges throughout her life. She lived with pain in different ways. But I've never heard anybody say they've heard that she ever complained about her life situation. And Mary shared at the graveside, and I, at times, I know visiting her in the hospital or in rehab, going through a difficult time, she'd smile and she'd look at me and say, "But you know, I'm a tough old bird." And I certainly wasn't going to argue with her. She was a gentle soul, a caring spirit, a person who had deep faith, and we are grateful for that. When I first got here a little over 14 years ago, I noticed a convertible Mercury Cougar in the parking lot. And everybody's nodding their head. That was Sue's car. That was Sue's baby. She really loved that car, brought her a lot of joy. And so that was always nice to see how that she just enjoyed driving that car and what it meant to her through that time. So I kind of will leave it there. But another thing that stood out to me at the graveside, when I say leave it there, well, I almost left it there. Gloria brought her Cocker Spaniel Bailey. And I learned that so Sue, growing up, had a Cocker Spaniel. And Bailey, who Gloria shared had been abused as a puppy, how Bailey and Sue had a special bond. Bailey loved Sue. When Gloria would be taking her to her cancer treatments and stop by the house, and Bailey would see, and she would bring Bailey out to Sue, and Bailey would just get up close to her, and they would start loving on each other. And even when Sue, in her last days at rehab and under care of hospice, Gloria brought Bailey into the room, and that Bailey wasn't going to be on the bed, then Bailey was on the bed. And they were snuggling again. And so just again, it was a beautiful picture of how Sue really related to people, and with everything and everyone who came in contact her, I think, was blessed. I've always remembered one of my first services I ever did back in Jackson, Mississippi. And at the graveside, we were sharing about Honey Crofton, and her son-in-law, Tom, was there, and people were sharing some memories. And I'd heard the phrase, but I hadn't heard it for quite a while. And Tom said, "Well, all I can say is I'm a better person for having known Honey." And I think many of us could say we are a better people, a better person for having known Sue Gavette. And so we thank God for her life and the blessing she was to so many. I invite you now, if you're able, to stand as we sing our middle hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. New Testament readings. The first is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now you may be recognizing 1 Corinthians 13 and saying, I think I've heard that at a wedding. It's known as the love chapter, but I think that these words are very appropriate at a time like this. These are words that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Love is patient. Love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The second reading is found in John's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. And the context of this is that Jesus is in the upper room having the Last Supper with his disciples less than 24 hours before he will go to the cross and be crucified. And he is sharing his heart with his disciples during this last time with him before he will die, be dead and buried, then raised again from the dead. And he's sharing with them things that are important, that are on his heart, that he wants them to know at this time to help them be better able to navigate the trauma and the shock they're going to experience at his crucifixion. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." And then as Chris alluded to this passage earlier at the beginning of the service, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So we've gathered here this morning to celebrate God's gift of life to Cora Sue Gavette. And as we do so, we give glory to God for the hope we have, for the living hope that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord, who is indeed the first fruits of all who believe, his resurrection from the dead. So we gather here this morning not trying to just simply cope, not simply going through some type of ritual to make ourselves feel better. We are gathered here because what we are lifting up, we believe to be true. We believe that it gives us that hope eternal, that nothing will separate us from God's love. In the face of death, we seek comfort and reassurance that death doesn't have the last word, and that Sue's life, your lives, my life, actually means something, that we're just not a passing breeze through this world that will dissipate, evaporate, and be no more, with no meaning or consequence to our lives. God invites us to draw close to him, to realize that we indeed have meaning and purpose through his Son, Jesus Christ. We have meaning and purpose, we have hope and focus through what God has done and is doing in the world. And one of the foundational truths, and I think Sue lived this out, is that the Christian faith is not simply going to heaven when we die. The Christian faith is happening here and now. And through faith, we are invited to connect our little life story with God's overarching love story for the world and what he is doing to make things right, to help bring healing and hope to a broken and bent world. As Christians, we gather here with a unique perspective on death. Those of us living, no matter the circumstances, grieve our loss. But our deepest belief, because God has promised us it is so, is that Sue continues to live an incredible life. A life full of joy and wonder, void of pain and illness, anxiety and struggle, heartache and frustration. And so today we gather to offer God our heartfelt thanks and praise for the gift of life, for however long or however short it may be. A day when we thank him for the time we had together, the time that we have to look forward to beyond this life. And we are thankful that Sue is with her Heavenly Father and Jesus, her Savior and Lord. She has arrived at the place from which we are all moving toward. The mystery is over for Sue. God has answered her questions and her prayers and has welcomed her home. So as we embrace faith, hope, and love, and as we remember, the Christian faith is not about rules and regulation. It's not about do's and don'ts. The Christian faith is about relationships. God's relationship with us, our relationship with God, and our relationship with one another, with neighbor. And at the heartbeat of Christianity, as we think about those relationships, is love. And in our culture, oftentimes love is bandied about. The word love is tossed to and fro, and it usually is more superficial. It's usually about feelings and emotions. And love certainly encompasses feelings and emotions. But love, from God's perspective, also involves the will that comes together with the emotions so that we live out what we say. We all know that talk is cheap, words are easy to come by, but love is seen in action. Words that take on flesh and bone, that move out into the world, and are willing to come alongside other people in the good times and in the hard times. Love is being willing to act from the will, from the heart, even when it's not easy. One of my phrases that I've always remembered, that I've enjoyed and stayed with me, is that as you think about life and you're walking down a road, and the phrase is, feel free to go the extra mile. That extra mile is rarely crowded. And we haven't gathered here this morning in fear, but we've gathered here in freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we acknowledge the grief we experience when we suffer the loss of a loved one in our lives. But in Christ, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. This is why these words of relationship, which we read from the Bible, speak to our hearts and to our very lives. This morning, as we celebrate Sue's life, we can hear the words from Scripture. God's desire to be in a loving relationship with each one of us and to embrace His peace, a peace that surpasses this world's understanding. And the amazing thing about God's love, in contrast to what the world might promise, is that it is from everlasting to everlasting. And it is a love that we're told from the Scriptures, that God has poured out His love by His Spirit into our hearts. And so when we seek to love in the power of the Spirit and through the power of God's Word, we don't have to grit our teeth. We don't have to try to manipulate others. We don't have to try to manufacture a kind of love that will be meaningful. It will a love that will flow out of who we are as Christ continues to shape us and mold us into the person He's created us to be. So when we read, do not let your hearts be troubled, trust in God, trust also in me, these are words that are part of Jesus' last words to His disciples, as I mentioned. And these are words of peace and encouragement. And as we go through our lives, whether it's at a service like this, whether it's a setback in relationships or financial stress or discouraged about what's going on in the world around us, and the promises that people will make might ring hollow and false and empty, we are told that God's promises are sure, and they've been answered in Jesus Christ Himself. And the words that we think about, they're words that are gracious and that are generous and that are empowering. They invite us to take Jesus seriously when He speaks to us, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We're invited here this morning to ask ourselves, where do we find our rest in times of trouble and trial and uncertainty? Knowing Sue and having conversations with her about faith, she was very upfront about what her faith meant to her and how her faith strengthened her in her challenges and her difficulties, and how she had a comfort that enabled her to be able to say, I'm a tough old bird. Jesus says, trust in God, trust also in me. And again, we're back now to relationships. Relationships that emphasize that Christ is the heart of Christianity. Christ is the heart of Christianity. To trust is not about giving mental or intellectual assent to someone or something. So like right now, when you lose a loved one, when you're feeling isolated or lonely, mere intellectual assent or propositional phrases are going to come up empty. They won't carry the emotional weight and strength that we need to get through the dark hours, the challenging times that might be weighing us down. But to trust in the person of Christ and know that he truly is with us, to enter into a relationship with God with all of your person, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all your strength. At times like this is when you see where your faith is, when the chips are down, when you feel like your life is at the darkest moment, and you feel most vulnerable, to whom do you turn to find courage and comfort and hope? This is why these words of Scripture speak to our hearts. Paul's powerful passage of a letter he wrote to the church in Rome. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus invites you and me to transform a troubled heart into a heart that knows the joy of the Lord as its strength. How? By placing our fears and anxieties, struggles and sorrows, our weaknesses and uncertainties in the hands of a trusted Heavenly Father and a trusted risen Savior. Trust in God, trust also in me, Jesus says. St. Augustine expresses this beautifully with words that he said over 1,600 years ago. God, you have made us for yourselves, and our hearts are restless till we find our rest in you. And so today we praise God and give him thanks for the gift of life we all enjoy, and especially for the wonder of his creation that we experienced and loved in Sue Gavette. Amen. Please pray with me. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He lived as one of us. He knew our joy, our pain, and sorrow, and he died our death. By his death on the cross, you revealed your love for us has no limit. By raising him from the dead, you conquered the last enemy and gave new life to the world. In his victory, you comfort us with the hope of eternal life and assure us that we belong to you. Almighty and loving God, we know that life is a gift. We rejoice and give thanks for the gift of life you gave to your dearly beloved child, Cora Sue Gavette. We give you thanks for the loving and generous ways Sue shared that gift with others. We are deeply grateful for the many abilities and blessings you bestowed upon Sue. We celebrate the love Sue shared, the lives she touched, and the many blessings which came to those who knew her well and loved her much. We thank you for Sue's example of living life with faith, with hope, and with love. Sue fought the good fight. She finished the race. She kept the faith. Dear Lord, we thank you that Sue may rest from her labors and enter into the light of your eternal rest. Receive, O Lord, your servant, for she returns to you. May Sue hear your words of welcome. Come, you blessed of my Father, and receive the unfading crown of glory. May the angels surround her and the saints welcome her in peace. Dear Lord, knowing that you take us seriously and that you love us with an everlasting love, may you meet each person where they are in their lives, and by your grace, may we draw strength, courage, and peace, trusting that all your promises have truly been answered, yes, in your Son Jesus. And we come to you, Lord, offering this prayer in Jesus' name, for he is the one who knows us the most and loves us the most, the one who knows us the best and loves us the most, and he is the one who taught us to pray the family prayer, which we pray now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you, if you're able, to stand now as we sing our closing hymn, Amazing Grace. Thank you. God's house, to go out into God's world, confident of the love of God which goes with us, open to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, a grace that picks us up, that dusts us off and puts us back on the path of life day after day, and to know that God's Spirit, through faith in Christ, makes a home in our hearts that strengthens us for this life ahead, that we might indeed experience the love and joy of the Lord and to share it with those who mean the most to us. Amen.